May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The two great movements of the entire Christian story are contained in our gospel reading this morning. The first movement is that God comes to meet us where we are. And the second movement is that God invites us on a journey. Jesus, the Word of God, through whom all things were made, is incarnated, made flesh, made human being in order to live among us. Why? Because from the foundation of the world, God wished to be close to us. God wished to have relationship with us. We pulled away from God's love. We pulled away from God's grace, but that did not stop God from loving us and wishing to have a relationship with us. Down through the ages, God tried. God tried threats. God tried bribery. This will be familiar to anybody with children. God tried rewarding for good behavior. God tried sending prophets to tell us what an utter mess we were making of things. But oh, we are amazingly resourceful at ignoring and avoiding God's pointed messages to us. In the end, this was something that God had to do personally. It got to the stage where God was like, fine. You can't do it. I'll do it myself. It wasn't working for God to invite us into God's life. And so God entered into our lives. God became human in the person of his Son in order to meet us exactly where we are. This is something that we proclaim every Sunday in our prayers, in our creeds, in our Eucharistic celebrations, and in most, if not all, of our songs. And it's easy to overlook how intensely beautiful it is that God wishes to have a relationship with us so much. God loved the world so much that he got down out of the heavens and came to meet us in the most intimate of ways, in our flesh, in our skin, in our struggles and our flaws, and our stubbornness, and our short-sightedness, and our frailty. God came to meet us in the midst of all of that. God came to meet us in the midst of what it is that makes us most deeply human, good and bad. That is the heart of the Christian story, that God came to meet us here in the midst of our lives, right where we are, in the midst of our doubts and our struggles, in the midst of our cruelty and our shallowness, whether we are great saints or whether we are dreadful sinners. God knows it all. And God comes to meet us anyway because God cares deeply about us and longs to have a relationship with us. And so God became flesh to dwell among us, a tiny baby, nestled in a manger. And look, here, he is already meeting mother, stepfather, shepherds, animals, and now wise men from the east, so it's all working. It's all good. That is the first movement that has happened in our gospel today. But that one movement isn't enough, because the story doesn't work that way. The story doesn't work just in that one direction. Today we meet the three wise men from distant lands. And here we get the second movement. God had sent an invitation in the form of a star, calling, enticing, inviting these visitors to come to him on a journey. And they are forever changed by their journey. So this is the second movement, is that God issues an invitation to each and every one of us to go on a journey. And the invitation for each and every one of us is tailored to each of us individually. For each one of us, God holds out his hand and longs for us to say yes and to take our next step forward. The Christian story is composed of these two movements that cannot be divided from each other. The grace with which God comes to meet us is matched by his eternal invitation to join him on a journey of redeeming the world. God sees us with grace and loves us as we are. And God, at the same time, has dreams and hopes and ideas for us to move forward. Think of all the cruelty in the world. Think of the millions of people who are oppressed and starving and desperate for safety and clean water and access to medicine. God has dreams for a better world than this. And God has dreams for how each and every one of us can be part of that better world. So God meets us right where we are. God loves us as we are now, and God still holds out personalized invitations for us to be part of his great work of redeeming the world. And God longs for us to say yes. A personal story. I know without a doubt that God loves me, yet I don't always make God proud, right? I know that God loves me, and I don't always make God proud. A few weeks ago, a clergy friend and I fell into gossip about some of our clergy colleagues. You know, it happens, even among clergy. And we fell into gossip about some of the challenges currently facing, you know, our workplace in the wider diocese. I'm sure no one else gossips about their organization with their colleagues. Well, we didn't mean anything by it, but you never do, right? We didn't mean anything by it. But I soon found myself saying things that I regretted later. Some harsh and unforgiving things. And I kept thinking about it all over Christmas. The tone of voice that I'd heard myself use. The lack of respect in what I was saying. The lack of compassion. And how even though I had, you know, thoughts that would bubble up about more sensitive or compassionate ways to think about these people in this situation, but I brushed those away. No, I'm not going to say that. Instead, I'll use my mouth for what? Cruelty, destruction, tearing someone down when they're not even there. Thinking about it afterwards, I did not feel proud of myself. That's the sort of tone and style of talking about other people that I grew up with, and a very beautiful part of my journey into Christ has been learning to think and to talk in a very different way. And so the other day, I was talking to my friend again, and I confessed to her how disappointed I was with myself. And she did that wonderful thing that friends do, where she tried to reassure me that, in fact, it wasn't really all that bad. It wasn't really all that bad. She said, oh, those things that you said, they probably were all correct. Ooh. They were all less negative than you think they were. Oh, cut yourself some slack. But that doesn't actually matter. It doesn't actually matter because the fact is that's not how I want to remain as a Christian. I want to step more deeply into a pattern of speaking respectfully, of using my mouth and my heart to respect other people and giving other people the benefit of the doubt and unlearning that harsh, unforgiving attitude that I'm familiar with from my childhood. So it doesn't matter whether I was right or whether I was wrong. What matters is learning to grow beyond it. learning to shape my mouth and my heart and my thoughts in a different way. Learning to take another step forward in my Christian journey, which has been a lot of years of trying to learn this stuff. And hey, look, you backslide sometimes, right? And none of that changes the fact that God was with me there in every moment of that conversation. That every moment when I was making a fool of myself, when I was humiliating myself, God was still with me every moment. God was still with me in love every moment. God was still caring every moment. God was still close every moment. God met me exactly as I was in that moment. And God held out the invitation, tailored for that moment, tailored for my history, tailored for my attitudes and my heart, tailored for the journey that I'm on. The invitation to go a different way and to take a new step into learning grace just a little more. God always meets us where we are. We've come up with a lot of creative things over the centuries and the millennia to basically shove off God. And all this time, God has not been dissuaded. Trust me, none of us are creative enough to come up with the one thing that is going to be too much for God. None of us are that creative. Every one of us here, no matter what your story is, no matter what has been part of your past, no matter what is part of your present, no matter what kind of thoughts or feelings or attitudes you harbor, God meets you where you are with love. And God invites you to take another step. That, my friends, is the Christian story. Those two things together, they cannot be divided. That is the story that we tell every Sunday. That is the story that we rehearse with one another in our services. And that is the story that God is unfolding right now in all of our lives. Right now, God is with you, right where you are. And right now, God is holding out an invitation just for you, perfectly tailored to this exact moment in your lives. And I'm not saying that because I'm doing it in this sermon. I'm saying that because any moment of your lives, that is true. Every moment of your lives, God is issuing an invitation just for you, perfectly tailored to you, and your history, and your heart, and your journey, and everything that makes you who you are. And the question is, what would happen in your life right now if you said yes?